Welcome, pudding people, to another episode of Everybody Loves Pudding. We are your hosts, Ken Seymour and Richard Geiger, on a quest for entertainment.
A quest that goes across many lands, in a search for many, many things.
That's right.
Culminating into a great revelation of vast amounts of information. That seems complicated.
Yeah, that was way, way too much for what we're doing.
True.
Since we're just kind of being overly critical of Critical Role.
Ooh, look at you.
It feels good to be back where I'm only 3% sick as opposed to the, you know, like 90% for 2 months. Whew.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. The stuff that was in my sinuses and in my lungs and in my ears and it's clear and I can speak and I don't feel like I'm about to burst into a series of coughing fits. But you know what? What's even better than feeling that good is having something good to watch while I'm feeling better.
That's true. Although when you're not feeling good, it's always nice to have something to watch as well.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm a little different when I'm sick. I don't want to play a new game I've never played before. I don't want to watch something new that I've never watched before. Generally, I can't absorb it quite so well. So it's always what's my comfort watch or what's my comfort listen. So I'll go back to stuff I already know, because that also means that if I fall asleep in the middle of it, it's okay.
Yes, it's inevitable that that's going to happen. Yes.
Yeah, you get those strong meds and they kick in. It's like, hey, we're going to do gone.
The best part is doing that and you're watching, a 30-minute YouTube video, and you wake up buried into the most random stuff that you have no idea what you're watching.
Now, what you got to do to devein the shrimp? Wait, what?
I swear I was watching video game stuff.
So it goes one to the next. Oh, yeah. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Vox Machina Season 3. We've talked about this show before. I don't know about at length, but we've talked about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We've dedicated at least one episode before to this show. I seem to remember you liked Season 2.
Yes, all the seasons were very good. I like the fact that most of them, you know, are under a half hour, right? 20 minutes to a half hour in that range.
Very consumable.
And I've always been a proponent of good animation. You can always tell a good story. You can do the fantasy stuff. You can do the real world stuff with the hint of fantasy. Batman jumping around going from place to place just looks cooler in its absurdity in a cartoon than it does in real life. In this one, you get a little bit more, let's call it in quotes, adult versions, because, you know, bad words and blood splatter and stuff.
A little bit of nudity here and there.
Yeah, so let's just take this up a notch, because I really do feel like if you were a younger, even if you were a person who's not supposed to be watching rated R stuff, right? Or if they cleaned this up, that it would still be an excellent show to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of makes me think kind of Avatar level animation about there.
Yep. I think it's, you know, very, very clean. The lines are nice. The color is nice. It's not a lot of, you know, sometimes you have certain features over exaggerated. Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to be proportionate. So it's like they took an actual, like, let's have everything be quote realistic, but just put it in, of course, a superbly fantasy type of land.
Yeah, and they left us at a really interesting point going into Season 3, as, you know, they always have to kind of up the stakes when the previous seasons leave. And that's really the hallmark of the show. It's the writing is really solid. It's got some great character development. It's got some great character growth. It's got many plot threads that you get to follow in terms of overplot, in terms of individual plots. And its presentation is, for anybody that's been in a Dungeons & Dragons game or any actual role-playing game, it has a very familiar flavor, which of course it should, considering who's doing it and everything that's involved. And it's just so much fun to kind of, you can come at this from so many different ways and still enjoy. You can come at it from the straight plot and just enjoy the story as it develops. Or, you know, the way I'm thinking about it, it's like, man, I'd love to be in this group as the game unfolds and seeing the different things as they try to overcome adversity as their characters in character.
And I like, too, as they tell these stories and progress from episode to episode and season to season, that there are callbacks to previous episodes, previous seasons, previous interactions with other people. So it's just like it is a building, you know, universe year over year, where the people that they interact with matter. They matter then, but then they also tend to matter later on as well.
So for those that are not familiar, obviously there's a little bit of spoilery stuff in here, but we're not going to go deep into the storyline, just enough to make it worth talking about. But of course, going back to what we've kind of covered in the past, the writers are pretty much Meredith, Kekskemity. I think I got that right. Yeah, and if that's not right, then I'm still good, because that is an impressively complicated name. It is designed for people like me to just absolutely destroy.
Yes, there's a lot of consonants.
Yeah, and then Chris Pronosky. So it's got a stability of presentation because it's got that same writing group that's been doing it the entire time. And you can definitely, rather than, you know, you watch a show and it's like, oh, the tone shifted all of a sudden. And then it's like, oh yeah, different writers or, you know, different director or something. It's just able to, you can just kind of plug back into it. Even if you've been away from it for a little while, whether between seasons or you have to take a break because you can't watch it as much as you want to.
Now, of course, it says in here, one of the writers is Critical Role, and when you watch this show, and you come to the title credits, and it does mention something about Critical Role, just because you would know more, obviously, on this, give us like 1 minute, 2 minutes on who exactly the group or the organization is of Critical Role.
Critical Role is actually really easy to describe. It's a group of voice actors and actors, actresses, writers, producers that get together and play Dungeons & Dragons, or at least did play Dungeons & Dragons up until some recent shenanigans that I won't get into. But they have this really great connection, and if you get a chance to watch them on YouTube, they work together to craft the story as they play the games that they put together so incredibly well. And it's clear that they're having fun while they're doing it, which comes through in the end result of how the game turns out and how the story thusly turns out. And they're just all really kind of cool. So that's the people that are part of that group is Laura Bailey, Taliesin Jaffe. I'm going to mess up the names because, you know, that's what I do.
That's what we're here for.
Ashley Johnson, Matthew Mercer, Liam O'Brien, Marisha Ray, Sam Rigel, and Travis Willingham. But if you, like I said, if you take a look at their stuff, it's D&D. Man, if you used to play and you just watch them, it's like you're in a group. when you see them do their thing, and it's so much fun. I would never have believed being a spectator of watching somebody else play D&D would be as fun as watching them do it.
Well, I've seen a few snippets here and there of groups getting together and playing, and there's always obviously a person who's kind of controlling the narrative at the time. I know that person has a title, but sometimes the ones that I have seen are just people getting together to actually tell a story and get involved. And sometimes people are there to just wreak havoc, right? That's kind of part of the group dynamic, is that there is always a couple people there that it's just there for absurdity and to wreak havoc, but everybody else understands that. And so it just kind of evolves / devolves from there. So there's a lot of variables, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the funniest thing, if you look, there are so many episodes. And the names that I talked about, that's just the ones involved in this particular series. Those are the ones that are doing the voices of the characters for Vox Machina, and they happen to be associated with Critical Role, but they're not the only ones associated with Critical Role. There are other people that sub in and come in and do stuff, and they're all so much fun. It's just kind of funny. Now, the interesting thing is, well, in order for this to work, you have to let me do it. Come on now. They did the Vox Machina as a podcast.
Interesting. The whole series?
I have not seen it. Because when I found out about it, you know, I found out about Vox Machina, the show, without really realizing it was associated. Critical Role was one of those, you know how you get that list of shows and things that get, it's like, oh, I need to really watch this and have some fun with it, but you never get to it. That was that for me. It's like, I know I'm going to like this, and I'll get to it eventually. And then Vox Machina came out, and my son wanted to watch it, so we started watching it together. It's like, oh, this is Critical Role. So now I have to go back and see what they've done after the fact. And I saw, I was like, oh, there's a podcast. Okay, I can't, I don't want to spoil anything, do anything. I don't know if this podcast is talking about what they've already done. Is the podcast them playing the game, and then that game gets made into the whatever thing? It's like, okay, I don't want to know. I don't want to be spoiled at all, because I'd had so much fun watching that first season that I was like, okay, I don't even want the littlest bit to mess anything up later. And then it got relegated back to where it was again. It's like, oh, it's on my show, shows to watch, and I never got back to it.
Nice. You know, the thing I like about this particular show also, we're in the third season. I think the first season came out in 2022, maybe. So every year there's been a new season, and each season's been like 12 episodes. And if you look at some of the other shows that tend to come out, there's much more space in between them, right? Or it takes longer for those individual components to come out. So I do appreciate the fact that they're keeping the content flowing.
Now, one thing that's kind of amusing to me, I don't know if you saw this, but the individual that does the voice for Pike was in the Avengers
as a waitress.
As a waitress, she was, you know, one of the ones that was interviewed towards the end. It's like, I love Captain America. He saved me. It's just I found that to be rather amusing.
Yeah, she. I feel like she's done a few things, maybe.
Oh yeah, she's done a ton, but that's the thing that stood out. It's like, oh yeah, shit, that was her. But it's she's got 150 entries on her IMDb page, so yeah, she's got regular work. And it's not surprising, this whole group of people, that's the thing that really strikes me, they've got great vocal range and their presentation is exceptionally good for the characters. Because, I mean, a couple of them sound just absurd, like Grog, who is my absolute favorite. Just sounds like a goof because he's supposed to sound like a goof. But he sounds like a goof that can emote and that can be compelling when it doesn't seem like he should be able to be.
I feel like all of them have that, you know, like, right? If there's a lot of individuality and a lot of voice acting that has been consistent year over year, right? So sometimes attitudes or whatever can change, but they've kept everything fairly consistent. And you can really tell the emotion on some of these, or the friendship, the camaraderie, or the anger. It comes across very well with their voice acting. Of course, the animation combining with those two play well off of each other.
Yeah, the thing that really gets me, though, Thordak was voiced by Lance Reddick.
Ooh, probably one of his last final things.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, that's
yes, kinda... there's a very good list of guest voices, if you will, across the seasons.
Yeah, you get some people that know a good thing and they want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about the plot itself, focusing on, you know, taking on dragons and needing it, you know, I was talking about how it feels like playing the game, because if we're in the thing and we're part of the party and, you know, there's the main bad guy, you're going after the main bad guy and you got to have that MacGuffin. What's the thing that's going to help you beat back the bad guy? And them chasing after these special items of power has actually been a lot of fun. It's made me think a little bit of the original Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Yes, there's always a different one, right? And it's weird that to an extent, no one else really has any interest in these things or knows about them. They turn up every once in a while where somebody's competing against it, but for the most part, right? They're in a place and you've got to do you're completing a quest line to get that thing.
Right.
And there's always a complication that comes up. So it tends to devolve from there, which is totally fine. You know, in any of our favorite role-playing games, if you will, that are all, you know, Dungeons and Dragons based, that's what you do. You go on side quests, right?
Yep.
And then sometimes when you're doing that side quest, you run into something else that distracts you, and then you go do that thing. That's exactly what this show is.
And it's so much fun to see that kind of play out. But also the character, like I was talking about, the character growth that you have, you know, the growth for Vex as she tries to be able to connect emotionally to people, that's really kind of nice to see as it develops. And it's a little cheesy, somewhat predictable, but it's predictable in the same way that we kind of have the same fairy tales and things that we enjoy hearing kind of over and over again, but it's just done in a slightly different way. And it's just amusing. Well, not amusing. That's not the right word, but touching. There we go. That was what I was looking for.
Yeah. I like how they can dedicate episodes to still telling the main story, but really telling the main story from a perspective of a side story of one of the characters. Because they tend to do that in a lot of these. And you could kind of see it as filler in a certain sense, because really it's they need to do this thing, and they could tell the episode in an episode that they're going to do that thing. But it's nice that you can fill the 12 episodes when you could really tell the story in six, but
you can flesh it out.
You can flesh it out, but that also gives you, of course, time to have memories, if you will, about how they met or things that they did when they were coming together, or, you know, like whatever side things that give you a little bit more background. And maybe that background wasn't necessary in season one or than season two, but now they're trying to flesh out why these characters are doing the things that they do. So then they can poke a little 10-minute kind of rehash of, you know, they're growing up to give us a little bit more information. So good continuity in a certain sense.
And that, I think, is going to be something we'll end up talking again when we go over season three of What If, because this show does it very well, and that show, maybe not so much.
No, they get too tied up in nonsense when it should just be, what if,
right?
But not like, what if the Wolverine was taller, you know, like,
what if he didn't need inserts?
Yeah.
But well, I'm mainly talking about developing things in a way that, you know, the other show doesn't. And that's, I still have a couple more episodes of season three to watch of that one. And the common theme seems to be, from my son keeps saying the same thing. It's like, they needed more time to develop that story. They needed to do more to develop that story. It's too short for what they were trying to do. But I don't get that feeling with Vox Machina. That doesn't happen. Everything is nicely developed. Everything is nicely tied together. I'm really interested in seeing what happens with the Pike character. You know, that little, it's like, maybe you shouldn't have faith in that God. Maybe it's you. You know, that sort of thing. So I'm okay. Well, where are we going with this? Is she actually part divine? Is there some sort of, you know, spell thing that's going on? You know, what are we doing with this? She's actually like the deity's number one person, and he's getting her to doubt that so that that she doesn't have her fiercest warrior or whatever in some upcoming battle. I'm really curious about that.
Yes, they've planted the seed, and of course they play it off this season as like, this gives her the strength to use the chest plate thingy to absorb all the fire and whatever.
Right.
But that's cool, but you're right. Like, what is this really going to turn into?
What's going to happen when the other shoe drops?
Mm-hmm.
Scanlan's developing relationship with his daughter. That's been great. I've been really, really enjoying that.
Yeah, so is she, you know, going to be part of the team? Is she going to be just a reoccurring character? Is he going to leave the team and they're going to have their own adventures? You know, like, what's going to happen?
There's some fun stuff there. But I just, again, just seeing the guy that's played off as, you know, the not womanizing, because he doesn't seem to care one way or the other, but the sexaholic D&D character that, you know, inevitably shows up. It's like, it's the recurring running joke. It's like, all right, we're in the game. It's like, there's a barmaid. It's like, I seduce her. It's like, oh, of course you do. That's the first thing that you do is, you know, what? Okay, fine.
And he's kind of the, there's goofball, right? And then there's this goofball. Right, because they really have two goofballs.
Yes,
but one's goofball in, you know, just oaf, like doofus goofball.
He can't help because he's not very bright.
Yep, but this one is more goofball just because of the absurdity that he will take for, you know, the sexual pleasures and the wine. Right.
Right.
Well, top secretly, he's a real powerful character, you know, with the magic that he can do.
Scanlan's hand! Yeah, I was laughing with when I was watching, and I was just asking, it's like, you know what spell that is, right, Rome? And my son's going, like, what? It's like, that spell, Scanlan's hands, that's Bigby's fist. I mean, come on, man. This key D&D stuff going on right here. That was great. Keyless development, maybe my least favorite. Not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I was just like, oh yeah, I'm becoming the leader and I need to believe in myself and I need to do, okay, fine.
But she turned into a tree.
She turned into a tree and a rock monster.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. No, like I said, it was good. Like I said, it's maybe the least compelling of the group. And when the least compelling is still, that's good. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I think we didn't get much out of her character in the previous couple episodes, right? We knew she was on a quest of sorts to prove herself. And we got snippets here and there, but yeah. hers wasn't really played out too much. So they got to give her some of that, you know, attention.
Yeah. And I still, Grog is still my favorite, and I don't think that's going to change. That's the kind of character that I play in any D&D game. I love being just the dumb guy. And it just stumbles into things on accident, and it's a lot of fun.
So you have extra points in luck and strength is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, like one of my favorite characters I played back in the day when we were doing kind of a Planescape thing is I played a Minotaur Ranger, specialized in his fists. it's like literally Grog. It's just he's a Minotaur.
Minotaur.
It's like, I did that 20 years ago. It's just so much that it resonates. So, you know, on Amazon, the picture that shows up for my profile is Grog because, you know, it's a great character.
Still is.
But, yeah, they're all good. The little undead dragon thing, that was a lot of fun.
Well, you had to know, through the whole story, you had to know that Keely was right.
Right.
She knew it. She just doubted herself was kind of what we were talking about. And the rest of the characters didn't really have other options to go with. So they just went along with it. But you knew something was going to happen. Like, whatever it was, there was some alternate reason for her to help. So right. Like, we knew. It wasn't like they were trying to make it some big twist or turn.
No, everybody knew it was coming.
Yeah, and maybe the big twist or turn was that she turned the dead dragon body into, you know, her own body. Maybe that was it. I think
what the twist was supposed to be was that the reason that she was doing this was she was cursed by the elves in the first place.
Yes.
It's like, oh, so that's a pretty crappy thing to do to somebody, even an enemy. It's like, yeah, we hate you enough. We're going to make you rot from the inside. We're not even going to kill you right now. You're just going to die slowly. Have fun.
Yeah, so that's it was kind of her rubbing it in to Keely's, to an extent, her face.
Right.
But what kind of stunk about that ending is that you built up all the stuff through the 11 episodes.
Right.
Right. And it took one episode
to fight it and win.
Fight it and win. Right. Okay. I mean, that was, if I'm going to complain about something, and that's what we're here to complain about or overanalyze.
I don't know. I feel like they had a bunch of other battles that led up to that to get the things that they needed. So it's like they had plenty of mini bosses before they got to the boss. It still kind of follows the video game / D&D formula, and I'm okay with that, just so long as the rest of the stuff that goes with it is good, and it has been. I'm definitely, I'd say kind of the last thing, I feel like maybe if I were giving a prediction, I feel like there's going to be a war of the gods is coming up. That's the feeling that I'm getting. Because with Vax being under the influence of that entity, the Raven entity.
Yep.
And him bringing back Percy, and now he has to pay a price of some kind. It feels like that's going to play into the same thing that Pike is kind of dealing with. And you got that entity from the underworld, the hell dimension or whatever. There was a D&D storyline that I think it was called the Time of time of trials, basically where all the gods walked the land, sort of a thing. And it's giving me that kind of a vibe, if I had to guess where it was going.
Well, is Keyleth ascending to something higher herself?
Well, I just think she's going to be the equivalent of the Archdruid. You know, the leader of the the leader of that. So I think that'll play into it in the sense that she's going to be one of the key ones to try and hold the line. But ultimately, a bunch of gods walking the plains is rarely a good thing for anybody.
Yeah. So what? And then because it's just been a few. What was the very very end that was kind of teasing things for next season? What was that?
Are you talking about the bit where you see Vax like he's undead for a minute?
Yeah, I feel like there was just some bit of something in the final episode. Everybody's good and, you know,
they're all heading their own way.
Yep. I thought there was something that kind of gave us that almost, you know, like that 1/20-second little view of something. And that was what was going to lead into the next season.
Maybe. I think they're playing it kind of close to the vest. I think they need to for a variety of reasons. Like I said, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff where they have to be careful about what they're doing with the properties that they're working with. There is some friction. let's call it that.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Get some success, then there's problems.
Well, it's not anything to do with the people in Critical Role. It's not anything to do with the production company. It has to do with the people that own D&D.
Well, they're seeing it's making money, and then they're like, well, wait a second.
They introduced some stuff that is not very popular, and it's causing some problems. If you get a chance, you can look online. There is a huge reaction. It's about rights and royalties and a variety of other things. And it's complicated, but the result is it becomes problematic to try and use D&D as a source for a story because they can get their claws into it, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things that if it appears to be loosely based at all on D&D structure, that you owe that money as kind of like a precursor to what you're doing.
That's the simplest way to put it. It's a little more, well, okay, I take that back. It's a lot more complicated than that, but that's the basics. So I'm curious. I think they're going to be able to continue with this particular story because it is, but it's not one of those things. I think it's far enough away they're going to be able to continue to do it, and I really hope so because I want to see another season. But I'm kind of curious how this whole thing is going to play out. It's also possible that it's already been fixed because I've been sick for a couple months and I've been behind on the news, so I haven't looked into it. It would just be get up, cough a lung out. It's like, all right, now I got to do the things I need to do to live, and then I'm just going to collapse onto a heap. But I can't wait for season 4. I don't know about you. I'd say season 3 was really fun, more than above average. I'd say it's excellent. One of the better TV shows.
Very good, very good. Yep, there's good Amazon property. There's another one coming out here, Invincible, next season.
I really need to watch that. I've seen the first episode.
Well, you've only seen the first episode of the first season?
Yeah. I read the comics, but I never really got to the show, and I liked it. But again, it's yet another show that's on a list. Like, I really need to watch that. I've got way too many of those. I just don't have enough time.
Yeah, I know nothing about the comic, but from what I've read, that they've tried to keep it pretty close to the source material.
Yeah, it's pretty faithful. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing more of a little Vox Machina when season 4 comes out, and yeah, it's a good thing. And we're gonna have our hands full because there's so many good things. Well, okay, I can't guarantee they're all good. There's so many things.
There's so many things. Yes.
Because, like I said, we're going to talk about What If Season 3, though next week we're going to talk about The Penguin, probably. I need to start that show now.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I've seen the two episodes, first two, of the 8 or 10 or however many. And I was like, oh, that's good. And I never went back because I never had any interest in going back. So
if we don't do The Penguin, it's possible we might talk about Monster Squad instead, which I also haven't watched any of yet.
Well, that's easier to watch, right?
Yep.
Shorter episodes. Another Max property. More critical to the events that are going to happen for the DCU going forward, including the first movie for the Superman movie coming out later this year.
Man, I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be good. That's a really good looking Guy Gardner. I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, depending on what happens with that character, hopefully it leads into a lot of more Green Lantern action.
Yeah. That's the hope. But like I said, next week, probably Penguin. We've got some other irons in the fire. I've got some interesting people in the works to talk to, a variety. And we'll hopefully get some of those individuals nailed down and have some other cool things for you. But until next time, I hope the new year is treating you all very well. And that maybe 2025 will be the year that everybody just starts feeling better and things start just turning around.